It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The Pittsburgh Vintage Grand Prix has been a staple of Pittsburgh and Schenley Park for decades. All week, you may have seen classic cars rolling through the East End or parked with their hoods propped up and on display. This weekend, some of those vintage cars will race a 2.3-mile street course through Schenley Park's winding roads. So what does it take to race a vintage car on one of the country's only street race tracks? I'm joined now by phone by Mike Zappa, who is on the board of the Pittsburgh Vintage Grand Prix and will be racing a 1962 MGB. Mike Zappa, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hello, Paul. Glad to be here.
So if you're driving a 1962 MGB, how are you getting a 50-year-old car ready to race?
Well, it takes two things. A lot of patience and a lot of time. And being the age that I am, which isn't that old, but old enough, the time I can dedicate it to it, the patience, though, always runs short because you want things to get done sooner instead of later. But it really entails a lot of hard work. And my son, Christopher, helps me out a lot because we actually race three different cars, but only this MGB at the Pittsburgh Vintage. It really requires, one, it has to be race safe, and it requires having a fuel cell in it. It has to have harness belts. It has to have a roll bar or roll cage. I mean, it has to have catch bottles, all of the drain plugs. You know, when you go get your oil changed at your local Valvoline, the drain plugs aren't wired. They have to be safety wired. Anywhere there's any chance of fluid to leak, all of the bolts for drain plugs have to be wired safe. And then, of course, it has to be prepared to a certain race requirement, which we call the GCR was established by the SACCA, and it's the General Car Racing Manual. So certain things are permitted to be done to the car to make it more race-worthy than just a street car. And everybody here must comply with the GCR the year of the car that they race. Mine being, of course, back in 1962 to probably 1966 is the GCR that I follow. The car has special race tires. They are not what we consider over-the-road safe. They are bias-ply tires, which basically no one runs on bias-ply tires with today's modern cars. They're all some type of radial tire. It has magnesium wheels, which are ultralight. And, of course, I feel safe because I have almost a roll cage around me if something would ever happen, God forbid, I would basically feel pretty safe in the car. So we prepare these cars, and I have a race shop in my home. I live in a warehouse in the North Shore of Pittsburgh, and there we prepare all three of the cars for the various venues that we go to. This one, of course, being my most favorite venue, which is the Pittsburgh Vintage Grand Prix. This event is outstanding, is all I can tell you. I mean, we have racers. The gentleman that's actually paddocked next to me, they drove from California. The guy across the road from me drove from Texas.
What are these people driving from these great distances?
All right, Tony Perella is the owner of SDRA. He's driving I believe it's a 1938 Indy car in the pre-war group.
Wow.
It's a fantastic car, and it's just absolutely beautiful, and he's driving that car. The guy from Texas is racing in, I believe, a Porsche 356, which is from 1959, and it's a beautiful car. And the cars up here, many, many of them, are very expensive cars because they're so rare. I mean, we have one gentleman that races a Bugatti around the track from 1935. The thing is probably priceless.
Who insures these cars, or what happens if God forbid, and there's a forecast of some rain tomorrow that one of these things goes off the road and wrecks, or even worse, one of the drivers gets hurt?
Well, it's insured by pocket insurance. In other words, you stick your hand in the pocket, and whatever money you can pull out is how you take care of the problems that you may have had.
Sounds a little risky.
There is no insurance for them. The only time the cars can be insured is when they're either on the trailer or in the paddock area. And that insurance is very, very expensive. Remember, race fuel is, 112 octane, and it's very, very volatile. And if someone is walking by, throws a cigarette or a match, it could be problematic. That could be a very, big problem for somebody.
We'll discourage people from smoking along the race course. So what you're saying is that even Lloyd's of London, as far as the cars being insured, once they're on that racetrack, nobody's going to touch insuring this event.
Yeah, very, very high risk. And really with the vintage cars, though, the opportunity of something happen is, on a percentage-wise, it's probably about 10%. I mean, we came off of a weekend last weekend that's part of the Pittsburgh Vintage Grand Prix race. It was done at Pittsburgh International Racecourse. We did not have one occurrence of what we call a shunt or an accident, which is really remarkable. And although at many, many of the tracks, you'll see a couple cars gather themselves up against the guardrail or into a wall or into a tire wall, and it ends up being quite expensive. I mean, it's happened to me several times. I mean, it does happen.
Well, I'm curious about the rules here because this is a race. It's a competition. So if you're driving a 1962 MGB, can somebody else pull up in a 67 Camaro? How does that work?
Well, there's groupings here. We have approximately six different groups and then some special mark races. The groups are based upon the displacement of the engine. Some are pre-war. The pre-war cars race in their own classification. Group one are generally 1.5 liter cars, much smaller bore. Their group is a specific size only. Group two are the open wheel cars. See, and it just keeps stepping up. I'm in what's called group four, which is under 2 liter production cars. And you'll see MGs, you'll see Triumphs, cars of which, people can almost assimilate to because they say, oh, when I was in college, I remember that car. And those are the types of cars that are in my group.
We're talking with Mike Zappa. He's on the board of the Pittsburgh Vintage Grand Prix, and it will be taking place tomorrow in Schenley Park. It's a 2.3-mile street course, but it's that only begins to tell the tale of what the course is like. How would you describe the course, Mike?
Well, it has 19 turns in it to start. It has what we call, there's three or four switchbacks that, you're going one direction, you're going exactly the opposite direction when you're out of the curve.
This is not
It's not oval. This is road course racing. That back in the 50s and early 60s, until there was a serious accident at Watkins Glen, most races were run on streets of the city. But because of the curbing and sewers and, sewer lids, things of that nature, it's become very dangerous. But what they have done here, the Pittsburgh Vintage Grand Prix volunteers do an excellent job of making sure that the course is safer, as safe as it possibly can be. There's hay bales that are, in strategic locations. There's also fencing that's put up everywhere, and there's also jersey barriers are put up so that spectators can't wander onto the track. The spectators have a wonderful view of the racetrack here, and they see some really good wheel-to-wheel racing. But it is a dangerous course, and everyone knows it. I know people that won't come because of the degree of the danger that's here, that possibly they could have an accident, and they don't want that to happen to their cars because pocket insurance doesn't go that deep sometimes.
No, it certainly doesn't. And how fast can these vintage cars go, realistically, considering, A, the vintage, and B, the course that they're on?
I'd say part of the course is on the Boulevard of the Allies, which approaches the Panther Hollow Bridge. I know going up that hill, I'm over 105 miles an hour.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
wait, 105?
You're moving pretty darn good.
Wow.
Well, the MG will do about 120, 125 miles an hour is probably the maximum speed on a true race course with the correct gearing.
What kind of an engine does it have?
It has an 1800cc MGB engine that came with the car, but...
How many cylinders?
It's only four.
A four-cylinder and you're doing 105?
Oh, yes. You know, today's modern four-cylinders will do 135, 140 with no problem whatsoever with either turbocharging or supercharging or things of that nature. These are naturally aspirated. In other words, they're carbureted motors. And we get them going pretty darn good, to say the least. We pedal really fast.
Now, that's another question I would have is that, okay, the car, your car is a 62 MGB, but as far as like the motor, the carburetor, all that stuff, I mean, how is there a limit on how new the parts and the engine can be, or does it not matter?
No, parts break. I mean, there are no original blocks left new from the factory, so... You go to a junkyard and you try and find an old MGB block and you rework the block to your specification that makes it a great race car. And, you know, the carburetors are typically, from England they came with what's called SU carburetors, and you get two of them on the car. Some people run Webers, but they're not new. Nothing's really new. Everything is very period what you could get back in the day. Now, replacement parts, of course, are newer, and as long as it matches what was originally on the car, that is acceptable.
We're talking with Mike Zappa on the board of the Pittsburgh Vintage Grand Prix, which is taking place tomorrow in Schenley Park, and he is racing a 1962 MGB. Mike, how many years have you been dedicated to this, and what got you involved in the Vintage Grand Prix in the first place?
Well, two things. One, I've been racing probably for... a total combination of about 35 years. I've been doing it for the last 25 years. Again, I mean, in between were children. And the priority of raising a family and spending my money there versus a race car definitely came in first place for me. So I had to take a little hiatus till I got that well refilled with what I called free race dollars. Once that was done, about 25 years ago, I jumped back into it again. And with the Pittsburgh Vintage Grand Prix, the reason I raced it, but I really wasn't as involved as I am now, my nephew's child is autistic. And as you all well know, this benefits the Allegheny Valley School and the Pittsburgh Autism Society. And now I've become a patron and a sponsor here at the race, donating not only time, but also donating money. I'm on the board of directors. I'm on what's called the competition committee. I'm also on the advisory committee.
You're very involved in this, and I'm glad to hear, as others are, that it's for such a good cause. I just wanted to mention, we have to wrap up, but David on Twitter says the event harkens back to a time when drivers were fat and tires were skinny. So take that in the spirit it was intended, Mike, and I want to thank you for joining us, Mike Zappa of the Pittsburgh Vintage Grand Prix. Good luck tomorrow.
Thank you very much. I can use all the luck I can get.
Tonight, Essential Pittsburgh takes a summer break. We invite you to sample Wits, a live comedy and performance hour with host John Moe. Tonight's guest is This American Life fave comedian Tig Notaro. Tune in at 8 and tell us what you think at comments@wesa.fm. That's Wits tonight at 8 on 90.5 WESA. Until Monday, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Have a great weekend.